From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A former top-level employee at Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital is in state custody and faces felony theft charges. KTOO's Claire Strempel has the story.
Former Chief Behavioral Health Officer Bradley Grigg was charged with two felony counts of theft in the first degree at an arraignment this Friday morning at the state courthouse in Juneau.
All right, we're going to call State of Alaska versus Bradley Griggs. It's 1J22860 criminal.
Grigg was arrested by state troopers on Thursday evening for allegedly stealing more than $100,000 from the city-owned hospital. He participated by video call from Lemon Creek Correctional Center. Court documents detail two felonies, the first including more than $25,000 in travel-related reimbursements, the second more than $25,000 in Amazon purchases. District Attorney Jessalyn Gillum said Grigg is accused of stealing from the hospital over several years while in his leadership role, where his annual salary was $180,000.
His actions, which primarily took the form of either fraudulent reimbursement requests for travel and accommodations on trips that were never actually taken, as well as personal expenses made through his purchase credit card issued by Bartlett, that in fact were not for business purposes.
Grigg was handcuffed and wore an orange jumpsuit and orange slip-on shoes. He lowered his head while the prosecution made the case for a $25,000 cash bail. He asked the court for a lower amount.
I'm not a risk of public safety, in my opinion, and that's not a flight risk. There's no plan, there's no flight purchase or anything like that in order that would get me out of town. I probably don't have a job anymore, but I do have life here.
Superior Court Judge Mariana Carpinetti set Grigg's bail at $10,000 cash, and he will be under electronic monitoring. He may not visit the hospital, and he's restricted from contact with several witnesses in the case. He also may not leave the city and borough of Juneau, and he may not visit the airport, the ferry terminal, or any harbors. Judge Carpinetti entered a not guilty plea for Grigg to preserve his rights until he finds an attorney. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says the warrant for Grigg's arrest was issued following an investigation by the city and borough of Juneau.
We learned about that through internal whistleblowing process, and provided those details to the district attorney for their use.
Barr says the city and hospital have tightened security on hospital spending, quote, to guard against this sort of alleged activity occurring in the future, end quote. He said that includes a monthly review of all credit card purchases by leadership and the use of purchase orders rather than credit cards. Barr would not say at this time if the city will seek damages in civil court. Grigg worked at Bartlett Regional Hospital for 4 years. He resigned from the hospital last fall, just hours after the resignation and firing of former CEO Rose Lawhorn. Nearly all of the hospital's senior management left after Lawhorn and Grigg's departure. Mr. Grigg is next due in court for a representation hearing August 31st at 2:30 p.m. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
School districts around the state are facing teacher shortages as the academic school year begins. Last year, several rural districts hired teachers from the Philippines to fill staffing gaps, but that visa program has a 5-year limit. On Talk of Alaska on Tuesday, Bering Strait School District Administrator Susan Nedza said that makes it a temporary fix.
We had 21 Filipino teachers come all at once last year, and so at their 5-year mark, we know we're going to have 21 openings.
Lisa Parity is the executive director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. She said both rural and urban districts are feeling the impacts of a nationwide teacher shortage.
We're very reliant on recruiting from the lower 48. And at this point, where we've lost so much competitiveness, a lot of those educators don't feel the need to leave their state. They can get jobs anywhere.
Parity said increasing the base student allocation, that's the amount of money per student a district receives from the state, could help all districts. It hasn't increased since 2017.
We have been flat funded in public education for a long period of time, and we know that flat funding does not account for inflation. We're at a 40-year high for inflation, and so that results in a cut every year that we're flat funded.
According to the National Center for Education Statistics, 44% of public schools in the U.S. currently report teaching vacancies. Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce announced today that he's resigning as mayor next month to focus full-time on his gubernatorial campaign. Pierce is a conservative from Sterling and in his second term as mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. He was first elected in 2017, and his current term didn't end until late next year. He announced his resignation this morning on a conservative podcast and in a written statement posted to Facebook. He did not immediately respond to calls seeking comment. Pierce and running mate Edie Grunwald are polling fourth in the governor's primary with about 6.7% of the total vote as of a Thursday night update. They'll move ahead to the general election in November. They trail far behind the top three candidates. Incumbent Republican Mike Dunleavy is leading in the race with 41% of the vote. Democrat Les Guerra and Independent Bill Walker each have just over 22% of the vote. Environmental groups are challenging the Biden administration's approval of a five-year exploration program at an oil field on Alaska's North Slope. They say a federal agency failed to assess greenhouse gas emissions. The Anchorage Daily News reports that the lawsuit challenging the adequacy of the environmental reviews for the Peregrine project was filed by Earth Justice on behalf of the Sierra Club, Friends of the Earth, and Greenpeace USA. Emerald House, a subsidiary of Australia-based 88 Energy, was granted the exploration approvals for the field in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Representatives with the federal agency and 88 Energy declined to comment to the newspaper. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski traveled to Unalaska on Tuesday as part of an effort to spur the United States government to clean up contaminated lands conveyed to Alaska Natives. KUCB's Theo Greenlee has more.
The U.S. government conveyed 44 million acres of land to Alaska Natives as part of the 1971 Alaska Native Corporation Settlement Act, or ANCSA. But lots of that land was polluted by things like mining and military operations. And so for the past 50 years, different organizations have been arguing over whose responsibility it is to clean it up.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling to order.
Senator Lisa Murkowski co-chairs the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs.
This is an official United States Senate hearing.
She and a group of state and federal officials held a Senate hearing in Unalaska Tuesday to organize cleanup efforts to some of that polluted land.
People are looking for an actionable plan. To me, what we're discussing today is really environmental injustice, true environmental injustice. We're talking about lands that the federal government conveyed to Alaska Native corporations to settle Aboriginal land claims that were often horribly contaminated.
Pressure has been rising for the government to do something. The state of Alaska sued the feds in July, arguing that the ANCSA land was too polluted to develop and that the Department of the Interior had to act. Jason Bruni is the commissioner for Alaska's Department of Environmental Conservation. And he told Tuesday's panel that litigation was Alaska's only choice.
We had to bring litigation against the Department of the Interior, against the Bureau of Land Management. We did not want to bring litigation. We were hoping, and we've been trying to resolve this. And we all recognize this as an issue, but we ultimately, the force of litigation has ultimately brought us together.
The community of Unalaska has more than 50 sites that have been deemed areas of concern, covering around 80,000 acres. Vince Tudiakoff Sr. is the mayor of Unalaska. He's also the traditional chief of the Kowalungan tribe of Unalaska and chairs the board of Unalaska's Native Corporation. He said they've been petitioning the government to do something for decades.
We're tired of it. Every time we get a letter back, oh, we're going to confirm this, and we're going to start a study. Well, we've been studied enough. I think it's time to take all these studies and put them up on the shelf. They've been studied enough. Come out here. Send people out here.
Murkowski ended the hearing by directing the Department of the Interior to step up to be the coordinating agency. She said it was their responsibility and that she expected them to act immediately.
So I would like to know that by the end of this week, we can get some kind of a determination from Interior as to a commitment as a coordinating agency.
And if the Department of the Interior doesn't take up that effort, Murkowski said she'd take action.
I expect an answer. And if I need to legislate an answer, I will.
Anyone who wants to submit public testimony can send it to testimony@indian.senate.gov. In Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
And finally, a U.S. Coast Guard investigation found that an incident in which a Ketchikan taxi driver accidentally stowed away on a ferry bound for Prince of Wales Island resulted in a breach of security. In a statement, Coast Guard Lieutenant Alan Vorholt says investigators interviewed the captain and crew of the Inter-Island Ferry Authority vessel Stikine around midday on Thursday. IFA General Manager Ron Curtis said that the cab driver was helping a passenger load a 70-inch TV onto the ferry on Tuesday afternoon and, quote, didn't get off the boat in a timely fashion. The ferry Stikine made a U-turn and brought the cabbie back to Ketchikan shortly after departing. Curtis said the ferry system conducted a mandatory review of its security plan with employees as a result of the incident, but no crew members will face discipline. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, August 26, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.